So today I want to start working on this Tosos and Davayin Dalet Amud Beis. I haven't been doing this sugya in the high school shiur as well today, so the board is all set up. Just in terms of, again, summarize what we got in the Gemara. The Gemara in Dalet Amud Aleph and in Dalet Amud Beis tells us that there are three Harik Vali Avers. The Zara, the Shvichus Dat, is Gidei Arayis, the Shvichus Damin. Those are the three Harik Vali Avers. We pointed out yesterday, the Gemara is very clear that Avodah Zarah being Yehari Vali Avar is actually subject to Machlokas. The sheet of Rabbi Shmuel is that Avodah Zarah is not Yehari Vali Avar. Someone puts a gun to your head and says, bow down to the Avodah Zarah, I'll kill you. According to Rabbi Shmuel, bow down to the Avodah Zarah. We paskin that no, you get killed, that you don't bow down to the Avodah Zarah. But where do we derive the fact that Avodah Zarah is Yehari Vali Avar? From a pasuk. V'haftas Shem Elkacha b'chol avavcha b'chol nafshecha. B'chol nafshecha means you even have to give up your life in order to avoid violating Avodah Zarah. Gilei Arayos we learned from the fact that it's Yehari Vali Avar, from the fact that the Torah compares it to Ritzicha. The Gemara compares it, the Torah compares it to Shvichas Damim. And Shvichas Damim we know is Yehari Vali Avar from a simple Svara. What's the Svara by Shvichas Damim? That my chazis the dama di dach sumaktvei dilma dama di ugavra sumaktvei. You don't know whose blood is redder. Maybe the other guy's blood is redder than yours, so you can't decide that your life is more valuable than his. Those were the limudim of the three yaharik vali avars. Now, important to note, just right at that stage of the Gemara already, that there is a avodah zarah sort of on an island, and then shvichas damim and gilei arayos are very much linked to each other, and that is mofia that expresses itself in two important ways. The first important way it expresses itself is that there's actually a machlokas whether Avodah Zarah is Yaharik Vali Avar. There is no machlokas whether Shvichas Damim and Gilei Arayos are Yaharik Vali Avar. Kulei Alma, Shvichas Damim and Gilei Arayos are Yaharik Vali Avar. So right away you see that Avodah Zarah is separate in a certain sense than Shvichas Damim and Gilei Arayos. The other way it expresses itself is that how do we know that Gilei Arayos is Yaharik Vali Avar? Only because we compare it to Shvichas Damim. So the limudim of the two of them are linked together. The source of how we know that they're Yaharik Vali Avar is one source. They're both from the same source. And it's just that, and that's a svara by Shvichas Damim that we then connect Gilei Arayos to. Whereas Avodah Zarah is a separate pasuk. B'chol nafshecha. It's a totally different issue, a separate pasuk. So you see, on a certain level, even though we say there are three Yaharik Vali Avars, it's not really so pashut. Even within the world of those three, Avodah Zarah is a machlokes, and Shvichas Damim and Gilei Arayos are very linked to each other, yet they are not linked to Avodah Zarah. Then the Gemara said another chiddush. What about the other 610 mitzvahs in the Torah, the other 99%? So those are Yavar Val Yaharik. You violate the Avera rather than get yourself killed. Why are those Yavar Val Yaharik? Why if someone puts a gun to your head and says, wear shatnis or I'll kill you, do you wear shatnis? Why is that the halacha? So there's a pasuk in the Torah. Pasuk in the Torah says, v'chai behen. You're supposed to live with the mitzvahs of the Torah. There's no requirement to die with the mitzvahs of the Torah. But in addition to the pasuk in the Torah, Rashi adds a svara for the pasuk. Why does God tell you v'chai behem? So we saw Rashi yesterday, in Dalet Amud Aleph says, it's a very good svara. Because Hashem loves your life more than he loves 610 mitzvahs in the Torah. He happens to love three mitzvahs in the Torah more than he loves your life, okay, but he loves your life more than he loves 610 mitzvahs in the Torah. That's how precious your life is to him. Of his 613 children, his 613 mitzvahs, he likes you better than 610 of them. Fine. So that's why the other 610 mitzvahs in the Torah, b'chai behem, yavar v'lai yahari. But even within the 610, even within the 99%, the Gemara says there are two situations where those 610 can rise to the level of yaharik v'lai yavar. Number one, if it's b'farhesia, which the Gemara defined as 10 Jews, then if someone publicly says, wear shatnis, or I'm going to kill you in front of 10 Jews, then you have to get killed rather than wear shatnas. And number two is if it's Xeris Malchus. The Malchus makes Xeris against the Jewish people. An anti-Semitic government decides that we're going to stop. The government decides they are going to stop the Jews from practicing their religion properly. So they make Xeris, you can't practice your religion properly. Instead, you have to wear shatnas. So that makes shatnas a Yaharik Vali Avar. So how many Yaharik Vali Avars are there? 3 plus 2. Not 5, but 3 plus 2. You have Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayos, Shvichas Damim. And then you have everything else if it's a situation of farhesia, or a situation of Gzeres Malchus. But that is the Gemara. So the Gemara said, wait a second, Esther Amalka goes and sleeps with Achashverosh. So the Gemara asks, how was Esther allowed to do that? Now, if you were to finish off the question, so we know that there are five Yahari Valiyavars that the Gemara had to choose from. That it could have said, isn't Esther, finish the sentence. So you had three ways you could have answered that. You could have finished that sentence. You could have finished that sentence by saying, isn't Esther Gili Arayos? How was she allowed to do it? Or you could have asked, isn't Esther Farhesia? Or you could have asked, who was? Xeris Malchus. Right? It was Xeris from the Melch, from Achashverosh. Strange, the Gemara only asks for Esther Farhesia, that she was Farhesia. Why doesn't the Gemara ask Gili Arayos from Xeris Malchus? A very good kasha. Tosfos is bothered by half of this kasha. What do I mean Tosfos is bothered by half of this kasha? Tosfos wonders, why didn't the Gemara ask Gili Arayos? Tosfos never asks, why doesn't the Gemara ask Xeris Malchus? So the Gemara only picks on Farhesia. Tosfos wonders, come on, you could have said Gili Arayos. I wonder, come on, you could have said Xeris Malchus. So we have to, just like you have to darshan the kasha Tosfos does ask, you also need to darshan the kasha Tosfos doesn't ask. Why didn't Tosfos ask? Come on, the Gemara should have asked Xeris Malchus. Why isn't Tosfos bothered by that? Yeah?
Maybe I'm missing. I don't see why it would be. It's not like anything against the Jews that happened.
So you want to say that Xeris Malchus means Xeris Malchus targeting the Jewish community in particular? Targeting Judaism. Okay, and this was just a general thing. Good, that could very well be. That could very well be. In fact, the Gemara, when it asks Farhesia, the Gemara gives two answers. The Gemara says, oh, it's not a problem for Farhesia because of Karka Olam. Or it's not a problem for Farhesia because Achashverosh is doing this Lahana Asatzmo, for his own personal pleasure. Now, would those answers work for the other questions that the Gemara didn't ask? The Gili Arayos question, the Gzeres Malchus question? So presumably, Hanas Atzmo is Eitan Kesmam's answer to the Gzeres Malchus question. Meaning, Achashverosh wasn't doing this because he was trying to get the Jews, he was doing this because he liked to sleep with young girls. It was Hanas Atzmo. So the Gemara's answer of Hanas Atzmo actually works for Gzeres Malchus. But that doesn't explain why he didn't ask the question. You know what I'm saying? Meaning, Eitan said, well, why would it be Xeris Malchus? It was Hanas Atzmo. Well, why would it be Farhesia? It was Hanas Atzmo. The Gemara still asked Farhesia and waited till we gave the answer of Hanas Atzmo. So why didn't the Gemara ask Xeris Malchus? So I thought, just on a very partial level, these aren't really two separate dinim, Farhesia and Xeris Malchus. They're two examples of one din. The din is, there are three Averos that are so bad that they're Yahari Val Yavar. Three Averos that Hashem hates more than losing a Jewish life, right? But there's also a fourth category that Hashem hates more than losing a Jewish life, and that category is Chilul Hashem. Anything that's Mechalel Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu hates that more than losing a Jewish life, and it therefore becomes Yahari Val Yavar. The two classic examples of Chilul Hashem are either when you violate something before Hesia, that's a Chilul Hashem, or when you cave to a Gzeres Malchus, that's also Chilul Hashem. They're both just examples of Chilul Hashem. So when the Gemara asks for Esther for Hesiavi, the Gemara is actually also asking Gzeres Malchus, because there is no din of Farhesia, there's no din of Gzeres Malchus, the din is Chilul Hashem. Farhesiavi is code word for Ve'esu Chilul Hashem Avi. What are you going to do about the Chilul Hashem? And the Gemara says, Hanas Atzmo is not a Chilul Hashem. It's only Chilul Hashem when he's attacking your religion. He's doing it for his own benefit, it's not a Chilul Hashem. One also says Karka Olam is not a Chilul Hashem. That's weird. Why is that not a Chilul Hashem? Okay, that's a good question. We'll have to put that in the back burner for now. But that was the Gemara's real kasha. Farhesia, Gzeres Malchus, all a question of Chilul Hashem. So Gemara says, no, don't worry about it, because either Karka Olam or Hanas Atzmo. Good. So Tosfos is going to focus solely on why didn't we ask from Gili Arayos. Tosus is a very similar kasha on a Gemara in Ksuvus. He asks the kasha here and in Ksuvus. If you haven't seen the Gemara, I have copies of the Gemara with the Tosus for you. So Tosus says, if you look in the Gemara Maseches Ksuvos, these aren't my marks on the page. Some kid took the Yeshiva's Gemara and decided to mark it up. unbelievable, says Gemara. In a time of Sakana, we discussed this Gemara yesterday, in a time of Sakana, there were no Heg, the Pesulah started to be no Heg to get married earlier than Wednesday. Even though the Mishnah says the Pesulah is supposed to get married on Wednesday, when it was dangerous, they were no Heg to get married earlier. So in the bracketed section, this kid bracketed off for us, my Sakana. What exactly is Sakana? If you want to say the Sakana was they made a Gezerah that any Pesulah gets married on Wednesday should get killed, that's what we would call Gezerah's Malchus, clearly an attack on the Jewish people, to say that you get killed if you follow the law that the rabbis instituted. So Gemara says, Nagu, Lekamri Neakre. Why is that only a minhag to get married earlier? They should have uprooted that Gezerah entirely. It's on that line that the Rivash asks the Kasha. What do you mean, Lekamri Neakre? The Rivash we discussed yesterday. No, don't uproot it. Don't cave. It's Yoharim Bal Yabar. It's Gezerah's Malchus. Die! Rather than cave to such a Gezerah. The Rivash gives the answer that he gives. We're not going to get into it now. So Amarabu the Amri Besula Nisvi Amarvi Tibala Hagmal Tchila. So he said, no. They never said you're going to die and then they're going to kill you. They just said that they want you to sleep with the governor before. They want every girl to sleep with the governor before she gets married on Wednesday. Any girl that gets married on Wednesday needs to sleep with the governor first. So Amar, Hai Sakanahu Onesu. That's not a Sakana. That's Ones. That's rape. No one's life was going to be lost. It was just going to be all the girls would be raped. And the Gemara Mishum Dikat Tznus the Masan of Shailuk Talavasan the Sakana. Not so clear that no one's life was going to be lost. There are some girls that are such tznuos. If the Hegemon says, "I'm going to sleep with you before you get married," they will die. They will give up their lives, and they would rather die than sleep with him. So lives were going to be lost. Frek the Gemara Vilidrish Ludona Shari. Just tell the girls it's okay. The guy's raping you. It's not your fault, and therefore it's 100% permissible. You don't have to worry about it. It's okay to sleep with him. On that, Tosfos asks, here and there, both in Sanhedrin and in Ksuvos, Tosfos asks, literally, don't shari, go into the Beis Yaakovs, give a class about sleeping with the Hegemon Tchila, and say, don't worry, girls, it's okay, it's not your fault, he's raping you, don't give up your lives, don't be such tsnuos. Just, go with it, and then you'll save your life. And then no girls would die from this. So Frek Tosfos in both places, how could we give that lesson? That lesson is against the Torah. Because the Torah says that there are three Yehari Gal Yavars. Avod Zarah, not everyone agrees to. Shechus Damim, everyone agrees to. Gilei Arayos, everyone agrees to. And this is Gilei Arayos. Sleeping with the Hegemon Tchil is Gilei Arayos. How could you teach them that it's mutter? So it's really the same kasha Tosfos asks on two Gemaras, on our Gemara and on the Gemara Ksuvos. And our Gemara Tosfos wants to know why we're bothered that Esther is Farhesia and we're not bothered that Esther is Gilei Arayos. And the Gemara Ksuvos, the Gemara is bothered. Why would you ever teach them that Ones is Shari, that it's mutter to sleep with the Hegemon Tchila? It's Gilei Arayos. Which of the two kashas is stronger? The kasha in our sugi or the kasha in the sugi in Ksuvos? Why is Ksuvos correct? Why is Ksuvos a much more powerful kasha?
Because our Gemara here at least asks a kasha. It's just saying it should be a little bit different kasha.
The Gemara in Sanhedrin never says that Gilei Arayos is okay. It just doesn't address the elephant in the room, meaning Esther was going to sleep with Achashverosh, so you have several problems with it. You have the Gilei Arayos problem, which is a humongous problem, and you have a Pharesia problem, which is also a problem. The Gemara addresses one of the two problems. Weird. That's strange. That's difficult. But you know what's even more difficult? If the Gemara were to address the Gilei Arayos problem and just deny that the issue exists and argue and say that Gilei Arayos is not Yehari Gval Yavar, that's even worse. Our Gemara never says that Gilei Arayos is not Yehari Gval Yavar. It just never talks about it. So that's strange, and that has to be asked. Why doesn't our Gemara talk about it? That's the kasha on our Gemara. But you know what's even worse? The Gemara in Ksuvah does talk about it. And the Gemara in Ksuvah says, mutter! Which is against the halacha. The halacha is that it's asir, that you have to give up your life. So the kasha on Ksuvah is a much stronger kasha than the kasha on Sanhedrin. It happens to be, this is the Yahari Vali Avar Sugya, so Tosa talks a little longer over here than he does over there. But the kasha on Ksuvah is really, if you think about it, a much stronger kasha. It's that the Gemara said the wrong thing. Over here, the Gemara just didn't say anything about Gilui Arayos. Over there, the Gemara said the wrong thing about Gilui Arayos. Much, much stronger. So let's see Tosos. Tosos asks, Tema, Dahavli lakshuya Arayos havai, Dorotzeach menarim rasu lukuliyam liyaharik valiyavar. It should have asked that it's Arayos, Tosos here in Sanhedrin. It should have asked that it's Arayos, instead of asking for Asya, because after all, Gilui Arayos and Shvichus Damim, everyone holds are Yaharik Valiyavar. Notice that line of Tosos, what's he missing? What does he ask? He says, after all, we know what the Yaharik Valiyavars are. They are Gilui Arayos and Shvichus Damim. And what does he not mention? Avodah Zarah. Why doesn't he mention Avodah Zarah? It's a machlokas. Two words preclude him from mentioning Avodah Zarah. Those two words are Lekulei Alma. He says there are at least Gilui Arayos and Shvichus Damim, everyone agrees are Yaharik Valiyavar. Okay, Avodah Zarah, you know, not everyone agrees, but it might also be Yaharik Valiyavar. Not everyone agrees is Yaharik Valiyavar. So he couldn't ask from Avodah Zarah. I mean, Avodah Zarah is irrelevant to our whole discussion anyway. He didn't need to bring it in. But his main point is that Shvichus Damim is irrelevant also, for now at least. His main point is that Gilui Arayos is Yaharik Valiyavar. So how could our Gemara only ask about Farhesia, and why didn't our Gemara ask also about Gilui Arayos of Esther? It says, so Kamokin Kashub Reish Ksuvus. And I have a similar kasha at the beginning of Ksuvus. Da Amar Diikot Tznuos De Masun Av Shayu. The Gemara over there says that there are going to be Tznuos that are going to give up their lives rather than sleep with the Hagmon. Uparich, and the Gemara asks, Svilid Shaludon Ashari. Just teach them in the Beis Yaakovs that it's okay, that it's mutter. Umay Kushya. Hashapir Avdun De Masun Av Shayu Mishum Gilui Arayos. Don't teach them that it's mutter, it's Aser. It's Gilui Arayos for them to sleep with the hegemon. So the kasha again on Ksuvah is even stronger kasha than the kasha here. Tosus is going to present two approaches to answer these kashas. One from Rabbeinu Tam and one from the Rivam. Within each approach, particularly the Rivam, there's going to be a whole lot to talk about. Okay? But let's see what the approaches are. First, V'tiretz Rabbeinu Tam, Dein chayav and misal bilas of kachav mishum drachmana afkarei lazari dovid kachav. Unbelievably surprising statement that one is not going to be chayav misa for sleeping with a guy because the Torah considers their zera to be hefker. What does it mean to be hefker? Everyone's zera is hefker, no ownership. It's not about hefker. It means that it's not consequential. It doesn't count. So sleeping with a guy doesn't count as sleeping with another person, and therefore sleeping with a guy is not Gilui Arayos. K'damrin Paragnosin Alanusa, and the Raya is a Gemara in Yavamis. The Sadi Chesra, the Gemara says the Chesiv is Zirma Susim Zirmasam, that the Zera of Gayim is like the Zera of horses. Is sleeping with a horse Arayos? Yes. So how does that help? As the Zera of horses. So the Rashash raises that issue in Ksuvos. Rashash writes, it's a one-liner, in very tiny words. And he writes, Va'af t'chayeves misa gamal bias behema, haini mishum behemos mamish, va'afil p'nuyanami. Yeah, it's true. She actually sleeps with a behema, even if she's single. Forget about being married. Even if she's single, she sleeps with a behema. She's chayev misa. That's if she sleeps with a behema. The guy's not a behema. We're saying his zera is like the zera of a behema, which means his bia doesn't count like a bias adam. The way you have to say Rabbeinu Tam is that there are tzvei dinim in bias behema. Number one, it's not bias adam, and number two, it is bias behema. By a guy, it only has one of those two dinim. Which of those two dinim does it have? And it's not bias adam, but it's not. It's also not bias behema, meaning it doesn't count as bias behema. So that's what it means that Rachmana Afkari Lazare. The Akum. What's Pshat though? He's like subhuman but super behema? What does that mean? Why would it count as something in between? Very, very strange. But Rabbi Yonatan was so convinced about this that halacha l'maisa, he wanted to pask in the following case. You have a girl, drew the girl, took off her sheitel already, because foreshadowed thing. You have a girl with a sheitel, okay? Long skirt, very firm, nice girl. She marries a wonderful guy, Suba. She marries a wonderful guy, right? A nice Jewish guy with a hat, beard, the whole thing. And then after some time, she meets this tall, good-looking non-Jewish fellow, and she runs off with this non-Jewish fellow, and she sleeps with this non-Jewish fellow. She runs away from her husband while she's still married. Before getting engaged, she goes and she sleeps with him, and she throws off her sheitel, shorter skirt. Okay, so she runs off with the non-Jew. Fine. So that's the. Then the non-Jew one day says to her, hey, you're Jewish, right? And she says, yeah. And he's like, well, let me, I'm curious to learn about your heritage and learn about, it's not always the way it happens, by the way. When someone goes off the derech and they meet some guy, it's always the guy that wants to learn more about Judaism that brings them back. Crazy. So he starts looking around on the internet and he finds out about Judaism and he goes on Y'u Torah and he sees these amazing 10-minute halacha shiurim and he says, okay, this is a religion I need to be involved. 10 minutes. I need to be. That's something I need. So he decides he's going to become religious. He's going to become Jewish. He wants to be a Megayer, and he wants to marry her. He's still in love with her, and she's a Jew already. So they want to get married. So aside from the issue of converting on the condition to get married, let's say he converts separately, they separate, 10 years later, he says he wants to marry her. So are they allowed to get married? She gets a get from her husband. At some point, she agreed to receive a get. She got a get from her husband. Good? So now, can she marry this guy? Are things in the clear? So generally, there is a halacha that if a woman cheats on her husband with another man, she sleeps with another man, she's usher to ever sleep with or marry the other man, and she's usher to ever sleep with or marry her husband. Shem shasru lebal, kach asru leboel. Just like when a woman cheats on her husband, it makes her usher to her husband, it also makes her usher to the other guy. That's the halacha. So does that halacha apply? She cheated with him, so should she be usher to him even after he converts? Says Rabbi Natan, she cheated with him, didn't count as cheating. Why? Because he was a guy at the time. And zir masusim zir masam doesn't count as a bias ben adam. Doesn't count as human bia. So she did. Doesn't count as behema bia either, but it doesn't count as human bia. So she cheated with him, it didn't count as real bia. Mela, now she can marry him. And presumably, although Rabbi Natan doesn't say this, presumably, if let's say she says, well, if I'm going to be from, I'm going to go to the Talmud Chacham, I don't need the ger, I'll go back to my old husband, right? And she wants to go back to her old husband, presumably Rabbi Natan would say, mutter, right? She never cheated on her husband, presumably. Rabbi Natan never actually says those words, which is notable, but presumably he would say, no problem. So the Rivam, that's all based on the idea that it doesn't count as Bias Adam. When the Rivam attacks Rabbi Natan, he brings Raya after Raya that if she wanted to go back to her husband, it would be Usser. That's all the Rayas. Every Raya the Rivam brings is going to be that it's going to be Usser to go back to her husband. None of the Rayas address directly staying with him. So Rabbi Natan only discussed staying with the guy after he converts. The Rivam attacks Rabbi Natan from multiple places that it's usher to go back to the husband. The reason the Rivam considers that Raya is against Rabbi Natan is because Rabbi Natan's underlying assumption is that the reason she's allowed to go to him is because it was never a Bia. If it was never a Bia, presumably she'd be allowed to go back to the husband also. So that's what the Rivam attacks. But it could also be, we have to see, that maybe they're talking past each other. And maybe Rabbi Natan only held she's allowed to be with him. But maybe Rabbi Natan would say going back to him is a problem. Going back to the Jew is a problem. In which case, the Rivam doesn't have any rights against Rabbi Natan. We would just need to figure out what would be the svara then. Why would she be allowed to stay with the guy after he converts, but not be allowed to go back to her husband? there's no logical reason for that. Rabbi Yehuda is saying she's muteres to this guy. Memele Rivam assumes she's also muteres lebaila, and the Rivam says, but that's not true. I have many gemaras against it. Now, there is another svara that you could have said as to why she'd be muteres to the guy after he converts and still asur lebaila, but it's not the svara Rabbi Yehuda said. Rabbi Yehuda said, why is she muteres to the guy? What did Rabbi Yehuda say? Because it wasn't Bia. Didn't count as Bia. Could have said a different svara. That the guy, after he converts, she's allowed to be with him. Why?
He's a new person.
He's a new person. Yes, she cheated on her husband. With a human Bia? Yes, with a human Bia. Guy counts as real Bia. And she would be usher that guy forever. But he's not that guy anymore. Haraya, his mother's not his mother, his father's not his father, his children aren't his children, and his siblings aren't his siblings. He's a brand new man. He's not even related to any of his relatives before. He's like a brand new person. Reminiscent a little bit of the Sugya Nayin Alpha Amud Beis, where the Gemara discussed Ben Noach Shebireches Hashem Ve'achar Kach Nisgayer Potter. A guy cursed God, and then he was Megayer, so he's Potter for his violation. Why? He's a brand new man. Nishtana Dino, Nishtana Misaso. He's a new person. You could have said that, but it's not what Rabbi Natan did say. That would have solved all the world's problems if Rabbi Natan would have said that. Because then you see why you're allowed to stay with this guy. I would have been all the Gemara's and say you're not allowed to go back to the husband. Also good. Because she had a real Bia. It's not what Rabbi Natan says. So that's going to be our problem. So let's see in Tosos now. So again, Tirus Rabbi Natan, Din Chayev Misal Bilos of Chav Mishum. Rachmana Afkri Lazare David Chavim Pergnos and Alanusa. Now, to address Eitan Ross's question from before, Zirma Susum Zirmasam, the Zera of the guy is like the Zera of horses. Who cares? If a man is injected with horse semen or something, and every time he has Bia, it's horse semen that comes out of him, let's say with the miracles of modern science, does it not asur a woman? Man sleeps with a married woman. Now she's not going to be asked because there was only horse semen that came out of him? No, that's ridiculous. Of course he has to. Or take another case. A man is Boel, a married woman, and he's not Motzi Zera. He does a full Bia, complete penetration, no Hotzah Zera. So she's not going to be asur? Only when he's Motzi Zera she's asur? That's not true. Of course she's going to be asur. So who cares what the Zera is? I don't care what his Shechva Zera is. I care what he is. So you have to say is that this is a Melitza. This is an expression. When we say Zirma Susam Zirmasam, it's an expression. It doesn't mean that the reason that she's Muteres to the Boel when he converts is because his Zera was the Zera of horses. It means because he wasn't a Jew. So it counts as subhuman, but beyond that. Nothing to do with the Zera. That's Pashtus how Rabbeinu Tam understands. We talk Kachli, you wrote to Rabbeinu Tam Lahatir, Bas Yisrael Sheimira, a Bas Yisrael who went off the Derech, Ubala Ovid Chavim, slept with a guy, Vishuv Nisgayerima, Lekaima Biadus. Then that guy was Megayer together with the girl, meaning not together, the girl was ready. Well, that's actually an interesting thing. Notice the Lashon, Nisgayerima, the guy was Megayer with her. What do you mean Megayer with her? She was Jewish. So there is Shitas and Rishonim. I think even quoted in Shulchan Aruch that if a girl is Himira Dasa, means she converts to Christianity, let's say, even though we do not believe there's such a thing as converting out of our religion, you could be whatever you want in the other religion, you're still a Jew. Cardinal Lustiger. Right? You know Cardinal Lustiger? He was a Jewish kid in the Holocaust. Parents gave him to Christian neighbors to watch. After the Holocaust was over, he knew he was Jewish. He went through baptism at the age of 14 or 15 under his own free will. And he's a cardinal in the Catholic Church. It's pretty high up. He was one of the leading candidates to be Pope. A Jew, a Yid. So an apostate. Okay? That's you don't even call that a tinuk shnishma. He knew exactly what he was doing. He's an apostate Jew. So there is a shita in Rishonim that such a Jew, if they ever want to come back, has to go through a giyur. A giyur al-chumra. Without brachas, whatever, but a giyur. Unbelievable, no? A Jew being megayer. So that's Pashas, what Tos is saying. To be megayer with her, she'll also be megayer. Because she went off. She became a Christian or whatever she became. So she would need to be megayer also. You can't say that she's asura to the boel from a bias ovid kochavim, because that's like a bias behema. Which two words did Tosos leave out? It's not shaykh to say echad le boel, Tosos says. What's the full phrase? That just like she's asura to the baal, so too she's asura to the boel. Tosos only says boel. A little strange. Not so strange, because the case of Rabbeinu Tam is that she wanted to marry the Boel, not that she wanted to go back to the Baal, so maybe that's why he only mentions the Boel. But in Echinami, she'd be mutter to the Baal also. That's Pasha Pshad, at least in Rabbeinu Tam. It's also interesting. Normally, if you say that Rabbeinu Tam had a Kula, so how would you say? Case came up, and Rabbeinu Tam was Matir, right? Look at the Lashon that says by Rabbeinu Tam. Umitoch kach haya Rotsa Rabbeinu Tam Lahatir. That's a little weird also. What do you mean? He wanted to? He's Rabbeinu Tam. He can do whatever the heck he wants. I'm Rabbeinu Tam. I can paskin. Rotsa? That's a little bit weird also. At least raises an eyebrow. Not sure exactly what to do with that lashon. So says the Rivam, I'll show Rabbeinu Tam that he's wrong, because there's three places in Shas where it's clear that she becomes asura to her husband if she sleeps with a guy. V'ikshar Rav Rabbeinu Yitzchok ben Rav Mordechai, that's the Rivam. Dal karchuk b'bias akum nesru lebaal. I'm sure that when she sleeps with a guy, she's going to become asura to her husband. K'damrin hasam dikaprutzos perkish shenis armela. K'avish shabiyad akum al yidei nefashos asura lebaila. Let's say a woman is captured by guy. And we assume that they raped her while she was in captivity, or that they slept with her while she was in captivity. So she becomes asura to her husband. Now, if it was just a rape, she's not asura to her husband, unless her husband's a kohen. But assuming that she, at some point, gave in to save her life or whatever, and she willingly slept with the guy, so then she's asura labayla. If I mean, I was a guy, doesn't matter. Apparently, even though she slept with the guy, it counts as a human being. What was that? What's that about? Esther. Esther saying, just like I am lost from my father's house, Mordechai, if I go now to Achashverosh, it's all over, I will not be able to be married to you anymore. Why? Because Bias Akum is going to answer her. Even though Achashverosh is a Novik Chavim, it's still going to answer her. Apparently we don't consider it a Bias Behemah. Vigam lekuhuna nifselas bibiyaso, and she'd also be pasul from a bia from marrying a kohen if she has bia with a guy. Afal pisha bibiyas behema ena nifselas de ein zanus lebehema. Even though by sleeping with a behema she would not become pasul lekuhuna, because I mean she'd get killed, she wouldn't be pasul lekuhuna. Because I mean parakabal yivim to desari dov chavim hu daafkri rachmana leinyan chayas. What's he doing in that line? That last line. That Zari Dov Chavim Huda Afkare Rachmana Le Inyan Chayas, Avobias Dov Chavim Lo Afkare. The whole Raya of Rabbeinu Tam was that the Zera of a guy is worthless. So Rabbeinu Tam says, can't mean the Zera of a guy is worthless. It must mean that the Bia of a guy is worthless. That's Rabbeinu Tam's own Chiddush. The Gemara says, and the Gemara says the Afkrei Rachmana Le Zare Dovid Chavim, that his Zara is worthless. Says Rivam, maybe it really just means his Zara is worthless. Maybe his Bia is a full human Maisa Bia. His Zara is worthless. What does it mean his Zara is worthless? Le Inyan Chayas. Chayas is Yichus. A guy sleeps with a Gaish man is a Jewish girl. They have a baby. Baby is a Jew. Why? What happened to the yichus of the father? Doesn't matter. Yichus of the mother is what counts. Does the baby have a din of a mitzri, an adomi, a this, or that? No. Baby's a Jew. Jew is a Jew is a Jew. No zera, no yichus. So that's what it means, the zera. The actual child, the zera. That's what's worthless. It's as if the baby was, what do you call it? Immaculate conception. Right? It's as if the baby only has a mother. This baby doesn't have a father. There's no connection to the father. But not that the bia wasn't a bia. The maisa bia is every bit of maisa bia. Of course it is. Maisa bia is definitely a maisa bia. That is the shita of the Rivam. Makes a lot of sense. Right? All the lashonos, zir masusim zir masam, afner rechman al zare dovid chavim, those aren't words about bia. Those are words about zera. So Rivam seems to fit very nicely. Rabbeinu Tam, you know, pushed it and said, it's about the bia. The bia is not a bia. So Rivam says, I've just proven to you that when a girl sleeps with a guy, she does become aser to her husband. So the bia is a bia. And if she becomes aser to her husband, mimela, she becomes aser to the bawel also. V'kibin d'nesh v'lebal aseru l'bawel mi'v'nitma v'nitma. The Gemara in Sota, what's Mekanin al Yado? Let's say a guy notices that his wife is hanging out with a non-Jew, a non-Jewish man, and he suspects that there's something going on there, that they're becoming romantically involved or something. So the guy says to his wife, I never want you to hang out with that non-Jewish man again. That's Kinoi. Next step is, if she has Yichud with that man, and Eidim Sora have Yichud with him, she'd become a Sota. So the man is Mekaner not hanging out with a guy. Is that a Kinoi? Does she become Asur to her husband based on that Kinoi? So the Gemara in Sota says yes. And apostles are for meaning Truma. The Gemara asks, of course it's a Kinoi. Why not? Umeshani, the Gemara answers, I might have thought that kinoi stira is only when the only thing that makes you usher to this guy is this bia. But over here, he was a guy anyway. She was usher to him anyway. So kamash malan, that still you could do kinoi stira. But bottom line is alma afilu gabeyov chavim shayich v'nitma lasa lebal v'wadin lebama. Again, you see clear in the Gemara in Sota that v'nitma, if she has bia with a non-Jewish man, it makes her usher to her husband. And again, says the Rivam, if it makes her usher to her husband, mimelet's going to make her usher to the guy that she slept with also, even after he converts. So how many rayas does he have that she's usher to her husband? He has what? What are his rayas? The Gemara in Ksuvis about the girl who was captive. He has Gemara Megillah about Esther saying Kasher Avadati Avadati, and he has this Gemara in Sota. Three rayas, three clear afna rayas, that a girl sleeps with a guy, she becomes usher to her husband. Says Rivam, if she becomes usher to her husband, Memela, she must be usher to that guy also, even if he converts. All against Rabbeinu Tam. But Rabbeinu Tam didn't just say that Biasakum was worthless because he felt like saying Biasakum was worthless. There was a kasha that forced him into it. What was the kasha that forced him into it? He had to say Biasakum was worthless. Why did he have to say it? You know what forced him into saying it? Rabbeinu Tam was bothered by a kasha. Our Gemara asks, Va Esther, Farhes Yavai. Why doesn't our Gemara ask, Va Esther, Gilia Rayos Havai? So Rabbeinu Tam said, it wasn't Gilead Arias, it was just a guy. Rivam says, a guy's also Gilead Arias. So now Rivam has to go back and answer the Kasha. Why does Gemara ask for Esther for Hesiavai? The Gemara should have asked for Esther, Gilead Arias Havai. So Rivam says, don't worry, I got this one covered. Rivam answers the Kasha. V'hadol parich. First very wide line at the very end of the line. Vallo parchacha va'esra rayas havai. De kimle de mahani taima de karka olam le'inyan v'lo mechayvin and limsor atzma mishum arayos. When the Gemara answers on Esther Farhesi Avai that she was karka olam, the Gemara already knew that karka olam was a good enough reason to get around gilei arayos also. Karka olam saves you from gilei arayos. It's not called gilei arayos when you're karka olam. And the Gemara knew that when it asked the kasha. Wait, if the Gemara knew that when it asked the kasha, why did the Gemara even ask for Esther Farhesi? Didn't it know the concept of karka olam? Says Rambam, the Gemara knew there was a concept of karka olam. The Gemara thought karka olam is good enough to get you out of a problem of gilei arayos. It didn't think karka olam was enough enough to get you out of the problem of farhesia, of chilul Hashem. Because everyone's going to know that she slept with that man, and that's going to be a chilul Hashem. Gilei arayos, why is gilei arayos yarek val yavar? What makes it yarek val yavar? Because it's such a bad aveira. It's such a bad maisa avera to be involved in gilei arayos. Well, if she's karka olam means she's totally passive. Totally passive means she's not doing a maisa avera. So that makes sense. Okay, good. So it's not going to be yarek valiavar anymore. But why is it that for Hesia is yarek valiavar? Even for shatnis, for wearing the wrong shoelaces, it becomes yarek valiavar. Why? Is wearing the wrong shoelaces such a bad avera? It's not because it's such a bad avera. It's because of the effect of the avera. What's the effect? Chil Hashem. Even if you're totally passive, there's going to be an effect of Chil Hashem. So the Gemara asks, I understand that Karka Olam is going to get you out of the Gilei Arayos problem, so I'm not even going to ask you that Esther was Gilei Arayos. I understand. It's Pashut. It's going to get you out of the problem. Karka Olam is not going to be an issue. What about Farhesi? What about Chil Hashem? And the Gemara's answer is, yeah, Karka Olam is good enough for that too. Everyone's going to realize that she was Karka Olam, and therefore it's not going to be a Chil Hashem. But the primary answer, why don't we ask Gilei Arayos? Says the Rivan, Karka Olam. Karka Olam saves you from Gilei Arayos. Mehechi Teisi, that Karka Olam saves you from Gilei Arayos? Says the Rivan, because Karka Olam saves you from Shvichas Dam. Mehechi Teisi, Karka Olam saves you from Shvichas Damim? Because how do I know the Shvichas Damim is Yarek Valiyavar in the first place? It's a Svara. Who says his blood is redder? Maybe, who says my blood is redder? Maybe his blood is redder. That same Svara tells you, just be passive. Don't do anything. So Karka Olam would save you from Shvichas Damim also. If Karka Olam saves you from Shvichas Damim, Mehechi Teisi saves you from Gilei Arayos. Remember, we started here by saying the two are very much connected. If the Zara is on an island, Shvichas Damim and Gilei Arayos are connected. So if Karka Olam saves you from Shvichas Damim, it saves you from Gilei Arayos. And that's Pashut to us. We didn't think it would save you from Farhesia until the Gemara finally gave that answer. Yeah?
What would be the Svara first? I guess you
had a Farhesia. So you'd have to say that everyone will realize that she's Karka Olam. Something like that. It's hard. It's a very hard Svara. That's going to be the Nekudas Samachlov. That's going to be Rabbeinu Tam answers back to the Rivam. Well, no. That won't be Rabbeinu Tam answers back to the Rivam because everyone agrees it gets you out of Farhesia. The Gemara actually says that. Right, we'll have to see. We'll have to, I guess we'll pick up that conversation tomorrow. I know people have to get going. And if anyone wants to stick around for Temin Halacha, we can do that too. Yeah?